Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our look at the book of Hebrews as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Now, I want you to turn me to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. I caught this last week. The first time ever, it just blew me away. Paul is writing to a young preacher named Timothy. It's called the pastoral epistles. For those of you Bible students, these are pastoral epistles. The others are epistles, letters to churches. 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus are pastoral epistles written to two preacher boys. And there's a whole other lesson there. But I want you to notice something different. See if you catch it. Verse number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of our God and Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace. Did y'all catch something? I never caught that before in my life till last week. Had all the other greetings to the churches was grace and peace, grace and peace, grace and peace. But when he got to young Timothy, he added a word. What was that word? Turn to 2 Timothy. Again, that pastoral epistle. Again, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, he used that word mercy. He did not use those other. Now turn me to Titus. Chapter number 1. I was like a pig in slop this past week when I found this and I've never, ever, ever seen this before again. In Titus chapter number 1, let's jump down to verse number 4. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. You think that was by accident? The Bible tells us in the book of Psalm 119 that every word is pure. All of God's word is inspired from Genesis to Revelation, every word. I believe that. But I find it very interesting that throughout all of Paul's epistles to the churches, he addressed them grace and peace. But when he talked to these two young preacher boys, he used another word he didn't use for those other ones, and the word was mercy. He said grace, mercy, and peace. Why do you think he said to those guys and not to the church? Authority? Well, they are in charge. Okay, so one end of it, you're in leadership position, and you're to show mercy upon the sheep. Huh? You're dealing with people. So you have to show a lot of mercy. There's a lot of preachers that they don't show a lot of mercy. Something happens in the congregation. And I ain't talking about not having church discipline, but I am talking about mercy. Matter of fact, I look these words up again just for my own benefit. The word grace means that unmerited favor. Typically, we define grace as receiving something we do not deserve, that unmerited favor from God. But, you know, we grace people also. I'll talk where a king or a queen would grace somebody that's a lower inferior, so to speak, to them. That's where that word grace means, unmerited favor. You did nothing to obtain this because of that love. They show you grace. So we're to show grace. Peace is not absence of war. A lot of people say peace, man. Absence, it's not the absence of war. Do you know you can have peace even in the middle of tribulation, in the middle of troubles, in the middle of storms? You can still have peace. Why? Because peace, real peace, comes from God. And he gives you, the definition of peace is soul tranquility. Soul tranquility. No matter what's going on around you or even in your life, you can have that peace. The Bible says it passes all understanding. Now, how many people do you know that have real peace in their life? When trouble comes in their life, they still have peace. It doesn't shake them because they know God's in control. So much we could talk about that, but those are the two. But here's what mercy means. We commonly would say grace is receiving something we do not deserve. We would define mercy simply as not receiving something that we do deserve. Mercy. What do we deserve? Hell. But God, who is rich in grace and his mercy, we deserve to go to hell, but because of God's mercy, he allows us to escape that judgment. It, literally, the word mercy, and I love this definition. Kindness toward the miserable and the afflicted. Now, I got this from Strong's, what do you call that? Concordance. And I'm teaching a college class. Strong's Concordance. I got this definition straight from, don't y'all look this up. Wait till you get home, okay? According to Strong's Concordance, the word mercy, I'm not even going to pronounce the Greek word. It means kindness toward the miserable and the afflicted. You know what it means, miserable means? I mean, they're the outcast. But it does, I found it didn't end there. It's one thing to have kindness toward them, but the definition continues. It says this, joined with the desire to help them. It's one of those things, say, boy, I pray for you and I feel for you. It's a whole nother step when you have a desire to help them. That's what mercy is. Aren't you glad God helped us? God, who is rich in mercy, he helped. We could not, without him, we can do nothing. Nothing. And so I get these, as I was studying this again, when he told Timothy and Titus, grace, peace, and mercy be unto you, we as pastors need to show a lot of mercy. Because sometimes our sheep go astray. I say our sheep, you know what I'm referring to, members of the congregation. Sometimes they go astray, they mess up. But we have to remember, if not by the grace of God, there goes I. Again, we're not talking about compromising. We're not talking about these other things that there's church discipline involved, and that's a whole other issue. But to begin with, you need to show them mercy. You need to show them. Pastors tend to get, again, I'm just going to say it in general terms. This is not, everyone's different. But because when they get in charge of things, not even pastors, people, they tend to get big-headed, okay? What's true for any is true for a pastor. They're placed in a place of leadership, and it's affected so many people. We could run down a list of how they fail, how they fall, and where there's immorality or financially or pride because of what was done. It's a big problem. And y'all remember last week or a week or two, we started our missions conference. And there was in Luke chapter number 10, this hit home to me because I told you we got 65 missionaries up on that board. And I put every one of them up there. But I put all those, and every time I put those missionary names up there, I said a little prayer. Lord, bless these folk and all, as I was putting the name up there. And a little, again, y'all turn your collar around. A little bit of pride started oozing up. Well, aren't we something? We got all these missionaries, give all this money to missions. Our church is full, all, you know, on Sunday mornings and all. It's just, and a pastor can get caught up in that. And I read this and it hit home to me. And Luke chapter number 10, beginning in verse number 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two. And you know the story, that they'd go into the cities and they would preach. All right, verse number 17, they go and they preach. Verse number 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, and rightfully so. There was nothing wrong with the joy, but it's what they did. Because we're going to read it.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.